You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. The government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, and it needed to be done, and it had to be done, and it must be done, and you did it, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and that's why we appreciate you. And of course, you did it safely. You wore your mask, you kept your distance, your hands were clean. You made sure that everything was on the up and up. Because, hey, you got to be safe. Your safety is your responsibility. That's right, your responsibility. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, and any other time around the world. And if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. Then the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. And they're pretty much up to date. My good friend, Brother Kwaku, is always on it. And putting some of the latest programs that we've done on there. So anybody who's done a program wants to listen to it or share it, whatever, you know what to do. That's right. Go to timeforanawakening.com. The top of the page, hit podcast. And then the drop down, hit African Perspectives. And then there will be the program that you desired, I hope. And if it's not, give me a call. Okay? Give me a call. Other programming we have here, and once again, all times are going to give our Eastern times. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. Followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. Then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and my dear sister, Bonisiwa Ayan. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays from 8 to 10, from 8 until. And then Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And of course, go online and of course they are seeking donations. They want to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And once that's done, there'll be one created in your area, I would hope, as the idea of supporting We Buy Black everywhere we are. You know, that's the deal. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba will be returning on tomorrow. He had a trip to Ghana. And December 24th, last month, or last year, to January 5th tomorrow. And his next trip is April 2nd through the 12th, going to Senegal and Gambia, then followed by, once again, a trip to Ghana. May 24th to June 4th, and then Tanzania, going from November 18th through the 29th, going to Tanzania. All right. And if you want to see videos, or if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah, I'm having problems with the, I got to call Baba Renoko with his website. It's not giving me the correct information, so it might be some issue that he may not even be aware of. So give him a buzz. I'll give him a buzz because his two trips, he has a trip upcoming, first in August to Kemet and then in October to Uganda and Rwanda. So we'll make that, we'll get some clarity on that. Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Establish Schools at where is that at? Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. See, got to get the right information sometimes. Yeah, that's HabashahIncorporated.org. The brothers and sisters are doing the work. They're doing the work locally with the sustainable Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs and Golden Growers, you know, of course, in the Kashi Project that is going on in Ghana. And so, HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for the land, for the environmental development of group economics. LEDGE, land, for the environmental development of group economics. Brothers and sisters, they're dealing with the four major areas of human growth and development, which is food, water, shelter, and clothing. They have 12 projects actively going on right now on the continent in six countries and 172, over 170 employees and over 160 members. That's the LEDGE Group. Go to theledgegroup.com. Go to theledgegroup.com and check it out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End. You know, they used to have products that, they've done a lot of changes at Wadada's for the better. I mean, it's beautiful. And I really applaud them. So right on to Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And also to Mama Nia has moved from her former location in the Greenbrier Mall. And they packed her up, and she says she'll be opening up at the end of this month, I hope, in a new location in the Greenbrier Mall. So right on to Mama Nia and the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Gazimde Ajamu, check him out at 404-519-8107.
He has a coffee bar now. And I mean, just a beautiful spot, just a sacred spot. And appreciate Brother Kazimdi Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and bookstore. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, and their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, from 9 to 10 Eastern, on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program is Dare to Win. And, of course, if you want to give a call to listen or to, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or family-centered economics, as we like to say. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Brothers and sisters, go online, go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, .org, and see for yourself the outstanding work that they are doing in the areas of education, health, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, just outstanding. They deserve to be supported. Akaban Institute, Baba Barudi and Mama Ya Barudi have been doing another outstanding job, as you know, of educating our young warriors, and truly deserve to be supported. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. You want to, excuse me. You want to use Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Barudi, BARUTI. You can use Cash App in an ongoing contribution using Cash App. Okay? And also, too, if you want to buy some of Baba Barudi's books, go to AkabenHouse.com, AkabenHouse.com, and you'll see all the great books that Baba Barudi, I mean, many. In fact, we had a little meeting, a breakfast meeting with me and the brothers, and we all went over by Baba Barudi's and bought the Inye Sesem. That's right. Thank Brother Kwaku and all the other brothers involved. Bought the Inye Sesem so us warriors can every day read the Inye Sesem, which is something that I'm going to do right now. That's right, Inye Sesem, Volume 2. January 3rd. Our objective is the destruction of evil system of global white, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, and the reassertion of our right to self-determination and the resurrection of divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. Heru, Anke Sep. We know we are righteous. We know we are winning. We see through the weaknesses of the power we prop up in other people. We are wise enough to know that it is a sign of extreme impotence to side with them against us in order to make our destruction by them easier to bear. We are fully committed to their destruction, to the permanent removal of their power over us. We cannot reform hell. I repeat, we cannot reform hell. We cannot transform Urugu into us. It is what it is. We have much work to do. Sankofian nation building work inside and corrective work outside. In punishing and correcting those who are not African and have historically assaulted us. We have a responsibility to follow our ancestral instructions to punish those who deserve punishment, and none will equal your righteousness. And respond through our actions to the question, if you turn your face from violence, who will punish wrongdoing? That's right. Who will? It is us. Ma'at must be returned to those of us standing on the front line and then administered to whoever stands against us in whatever language is required to make them understand that our enslavement is over. This is our calling, our only divine instruction in this day and time. It could only be ignored at the expense of our final destruction. There is no alternative. There is no compromise. There is no defeat. We must win or we will cease to exist as a people. Ashe. Affirm, I know who I am and what they are. I know who I am and what they are. January 4th. Only through study and practice of African culture can there be a renewal of the African mind and the readjustment of the African personality, a realignment of African character, and the mending of the African soul. There is a healing principle inherent in African culture. Culture develops and evolves us. It defines us and tells us who we are. Not only does it tell us who we are, it tells us how we are to be. Self-knowledge is impossible without authentic African cultural awareness. Self-knowledge is impossible without authentic African cultural awareness. Imhotep Fateyu. Communal society, the human way of life that we seek to bring back into existence, requires a natural, easy flow of honesty and trust. There must be an earnest goodwill and prioritization of each other's health and well-being in order for it to again become our natural way. Now that if it is not, what are we doing? Then we're not striving to be African. It means that we are not striving. This is easier to understand when we are knowledgeable about the opposite of who we are trying to become. Being familiar with what we are not and do not want to remain or become brings clarity. It helps demystify the natural vision of an African self. This is particularly true when who we are now appears to be has been so grossly obscured by our submission in the culture and society of our opposites. This is the one most important, fundamental pieces we need to claim personally responsibility for deciphering in this oppositional reality in order to begin to correctly mold our children into who they need to become in order to prepare them to assume frontline roles in the re-Africanization movement, which spiritually returns us to communal society. Only after spiritual changes does the physical adjustments to our desires. Only after the spiritual changes does the physical adjust to our desires. Affirm, I study and practice African culture. Affirm, I study and practice African culture. It is culture, brothers and sisters. That is the bottom line, is culture. You know, we want to say it's something else, but no, brothers and sisters, it's culture. It is culture. It is the bottom line. Haven't read these in a while. Your philosophy, what you think, your philosophy. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior pattern. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And then your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think and it ends with what you do. Your actions, your philosophy, what you think. And if you think
based upon what this society has constantly tried to make us think, that our women are bitches, hoes, and hoochies, then you will treat our women in that manner. But if you think that our women deserve to be protected, deserve to be supported, cared for, and loved, then you will treat them with love, caring, and protection. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do. If your philosophy that men ain't nothing but dogs, liars, and cheats, and don't deserve support at all, and that's how you'll treat them. But if your philosophy determines that in your actions, that men, no matter how bad the situation is, they deserve the care and love and protection that is necessary, and then you will treat them as such. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do. Your actions. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who's doing the telling? Who's doing the telling? In this society that is dominated by Europeans, and everything in the society that perpetuates that, if you allow them to do the telling, if they're the ones that are telling us, you can see why we're so messed up. So what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who's doing the telling? That's why it's always important to listen to our scholars, our historians, our ancestors, our elders. And I ain't talking about, I'm talking about African-centered. I'm talking about serious African brothers and sisters. Listen to them. Read their work. Follow their guide. Follow their instructions. That's who should be telling us. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's trowel and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Brothers and sisters, that is our quest. That's Brother Lester Belt Middleton. And of course, you know, I've been saying that you should go online to YouTube and some of his interviews with the great scholars of ours are on there. Doc Ben, John G. Jack, you name it. Go to YouTube. YouTube is where you can let, where you can hear the ancestors. You can let the ancestors speak. And you can hear Marcus Garvey. You can hear him. Go to YouTube. You can hear the great scholars, our warrior scholars. And you can listen to the interviews by Brother Lester Velt Middleton. He's been an ancestor for quite some time as well. Yeah. So, let me see, which one is this? I want to play this, of course. I'm going to play this right quick. This is where's that at? Yeah,
nice up here, right here.
The other weapon that imperialism uses, which is a challenge for a Pan-African renaissance, is religion. Some of us, you know, with all our radical rhetorics, it's shocking. We are still deeply Christian, deeply Muslim, deeply this, deeply everything but African. See, the clapping has gone down because there's a lot of intention. Woo! And we can't understand as long as you continue to see and to understand God and the Creator through the lenses of another race, you will never know freedom in your life. Never! Religion is a cultural understanding of the spiritual. That's why Indians are Buddhist and these Jews are that and this and that. It's just an expression, an attempt to understand, you know, the supernatural. So when we as Africans continue the denigration, you hear Africans say, oh, that's fetish. Like some people, you know, when they see the cowries, oh, that's fetish. Do you know what it is? You know, this is where the problem is here, in the head. In the head. And if we don't fix that problem in the head and in the mind, we ain't going nowhere. You see, the Chinese are coming to Africa, right? Or they're already there. They're going to bring their own God, Confucius, whatever it is they practice. And you will see Africans there, you know, worshipping. There must be a cultural revolution also. If there is no cultural revolution, our political revolution will not succeed. It will be hijacked and defeated. Because while we've done half of it here in the mind, because there's here and then there's here. That's why there's so many of us in church. If you go to Africa, my God, when some of the big churches have their congregation, 10,000 people at one service. Well, you know, I can't even talk about church because I'm just, when they have their revivals in Nigeria, do you know there's no space for them in the city? They have to give them space outside. 2 million people turn up looking for redemption, looking for the Messiah. But we have to understand that because the state has failed them, society has failed them, only Jesus has not failed them. And the reason why that hasn't happened is that they're most unlikely to meet him. The same thing. I don't mean to upset any of the Christians here. I come from a Christian home, a background, you know, a serious Catholic. My mom has got her big shrine in our house. All right? So I know what I'm talking about. But in coming into revolutionary consciousness, you begin to ask yourself questions. You begin to free your mind. If we want to get free. Because there's some of us who don't want to get free. I must tell you that. There are lots of us. No, they want to be a bit more comfortable. They want to have access to the same privileges that white people have. Not understanding that Europeans had to steal our resources and murder our people before accessing those privileges. So, for those Africans who want the same privileges, I always advise them to go and look for a brand new race of people that they can exploit. A brand new territory somewhere that they can exploit in order to have those resources. Because some of us want orange juice without oranges. We want freedom without struggle. That's what some of us want. That's why we wait for the Messiah. Because you see, the Messiah is going to bring it, you see. We'll be folding our arms like this, and the Messiah will bring it right up to us. Say, here you go, good people. You deserve it. You're deceiving yourselves. And if we're not careful, in the next 30, 40, and 50 years, our children will come again. Whether we assemble in London, in Lagos, in Accra, in wherever, and have the same discussion.
And they'll have the same discussion. Sashay. Yeah, I saw that. Sent that to me the other day, and I was like, yeah, that's on point, because that's what it is. That's the problem. That is the problem. And of course, we're going to play.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration, back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, coal, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled Because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
It's been time. Time is now. We must mobilize. We must do everything that we can to educate and to make it happen for Africans. And we must do it in Africa. Africa is our home. Africa is our heartbeat. The work that must be done can be done anywhere, but the energy must be in Africa. The preparation can be in London, and it can be in France, it can be in the United States or any other place. It can be done there, but it translates and it must go to Africa. Because it is, it's been time. We cannot do it here. We're talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That cannot happen anywhere in the diaspora for us. Those areas are not ours. We have no claim to them. And I know many, there are some of us who claim the planet. You know, we're the first on the planet. Let's be realistic. Let's be precise in what we must do to reclaim ourselves. Let's don't go off on no tangent like that. Let's keep it real. This is a new year. This is the new year, supposedly. And I know that, it's not a new year. It's the same old, but of course, last year, 2020 was so damn terrible in so many ways for so many people, and not just from a coronavirus standpoint and job loss and poverty, but all kinds of other ways in terms of, you know, illness. I mean, just really a bad year. And so, you know, you were looking forward to 2021. You were looking forward to some changes. Well, the change that needs to happen is within you. If you want this to be a new year, how about a new you? How about you looking at this year and begin to do some planning? And the first thing is about health. You know, we're going to do a program on the vaccine on Wednesday. And it's all about health. You know,
the overall health of African people, and that we must rely on ourselves and nobody outside of us. That is our responsibility. Everything that happens to African people in terms of health, food, clothing, water, shelter, whatever, all those responsibilities are ours. And we should never and have never put them in the hands of people outside of us, or to determine by them how it's going to be meted out to us. As you can see, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I know the vice grip that these folks have on our minds, just like the previous piece, when the sister was talking about the theologies that we have embraced and how it is, you know, a stranglehold on our minds of why we cannot unite, because of theology, because of religion. Many of our people are Christian. Many of our people are Muslim. Many of our people are different religions. And they prevent us from coming together. Many people don't want to see themselves outside of their religion. If you're Christian, then I'm down. But not understanding that within the Christian religion, there is less freedom. There is less possibility. Because it is an enslaving of the mind religion. Especially when they have a God that does not look like you, or a deity, or a savior. A savior that does not look like you, and that you pray to and believe is your redeemer. This is a new year. Let us try desperately to throw off all the stuff from last year. I mean, all of it. All the ignorance, all the stupidity, all the doubt, all the self-hatred. Let's kick all of that to the curb. This is a new year. Let us make a commitment to ourselves, and more importantly, to each other. To each other. That was nothing. Oh man, I tell you, it's a commitment. Let's make it a commitment to each other. That we will strive to learn, to build, to trust. To work with one another in this so-called new year. This is a new year. We cannot do and rely on the things that we have in the past. And I know that many of us are. Not for me, I just can't wait till tomorrow's over. Not because of the election itself, because of these damn commercials. I'm so sick of these damn lying ass commercials. Constantly these commercials. I mean, wow. 646-646. Good morning.
Holy Ghost, what's happening? Happy New Year and all that good stuff.
Right on.
Listen, man, I just want to thank you for putting together a program that you're going to do on Wednesday dealing with this vaccination and the pushback that we as clear-thinking Africans must have against these sycophants who are pushing this vaccination on our people. You know, we got a lot of so-called smart Negroes who want to push this vaccination on our people. And the more and more we expose how this vaccination may be dangerous to the well-being of African people, those punks never open up their mouth and say that they may have been wrong or may change their dumb opinions on trying to push this on our people. You know, it's really, really manipulation, and as one would say, a form of mind control, that you got unlearned men who don't have medical degrees nor the basic common sense to challenge men who have medical degrees, research degrees, and other necessary degrees to deal with this vaccination. I mean, I just want to thank you, brother, because there's a whole bunch of people out here that are pushing this vaccination and didn't have the nerve to get upset with people who are pushing back against their ignorance and stupidity. I heard one Negro talking about, well, we had the polio vaccination and other vaccinations, and then when you try to explain to the fool that those were vaccinations that were brought and put forward after years of study and things of that nature, and it's never been a vaccination that I know of that's been made and given to the American public in less than a year. A matter of fact, in like 6 months, 6 to 9 months. Yeah. That's insanity.
Yeah. And not only that, now you have 4 or 5 different companies. Every one of them's different in terms of what is in the vaccine and why are these different? There should be one vaccine. One. It should be. And if it needs to be in a deep freeze, so be it. If it doesn't, so be it. But it should not be a variety. And all these different companies, AstraZeneca, Moderna, you know, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, it should be one. And all of them should be collaborating on one vaccine. But because I'm, you know, my thing is, well, I got this vaccine. What did you get? Well, I got that one. And who knows? One says mine is only 75% effective. While other says I'm 90% effective. Maybe I'm getting the one that's 75% effective and I need the 90. Or vice versa.
Yeah, but all they're doing, Oshi, is a money grab.
Yeah.
That's all this is a money grab. A manipulation money grab. I may be mistaken, but I think that Fauci is the founder of Maduro or Merck, one of those two. I know
could
he's
be.
The founder of one of the two.
Could
I'm
be.
Just sure not which one. And he's going to make a killing off of this.
Could be.
You don't take a vaccination from anything and anyone that hasn't been properly tested.
Well, I mean,
this vaccination has not been properly tested. What kind of fool are you to make yourself a guinea pig, and then when people don't want to hear your nonsense, you got it there to get upset and act like a little petulant baby?
Well, see, what they're saying, Jay, see what they're,
like?
What they're saying about these present vaccines, they're different from human vaccines from previous when they had to use embryos, they had to use other diseases. And they would put some of that disease in these vaccines. These are supposed to be synthetic vaccines. These, the development, as they say, you know, once again, I'm sorry, brother, but I don't trust anything. And believe me, these folks don't deserve our trust. They have to go a long ass way to prove that, you know, what they have done is just and right. As far as I'm concerned,
I don't trust them.
No,
I don't trust them.
Not one bit.
I know about Tuskegee. I know about other type of things that they've done. I mean, all you need to do is read the book "Medical Apartheid." I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That right there will point out to you
the
shenanigans and the skullduggery and the madness in which these people will do to make money and to depopulize the population, because that's all what this is really about. They need to kill off at least a billion people off of the planet. And this is the best way for them to do it. They just don't want to admit to it. You know what I mean? And to have somebody, you know, talk about, well, I took the vaccination because of other vaccination. But you fool, those vaccinations took years and years to be studied. You don't take no vaccinations that just been created over a 9-month period of time at the hands of the white man, at the hands of the devil, at the hands of a no good sticking filthy cracker, most of all at the hands of a Yoruba. What are you, crazy?
Well,
I think some of our people are,
you
crazy.
Know, well, once again, they're saying trust the scientists, you know, trust science. And let me just say this, you know, in Baba Jetty, Jetty Jim Suhudi, Dr. Jacob Carruthers' excellent book, Science and Oppression, science is not objective. Science is just another area of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege to exert their influence over all others. No, there is no objectivity within Caucasians. It's just not in them to be that. That is not who they are. That is not who Yorugu is. Everything they do, there is something, there's a perceived objective. There's a stated objective. The stated objective could be bullshit. The perceived objective,
and that's,
you know,
being Bobby. That's being mild, brother Oshie.
I am.
The Yoruba is a disease.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it's a virus. That's a virus.
The Yoruba is a disease.
Yes.
You know, now I'm waiting for our good brother Research West to call in so that he could back up what I'm just saying in regards to these vaccinations, because I know my good brother Wes, he was talking about, you know, he got polio or something of that nature. You know, Wes got a special brand of knowledge and wisdom that he put forward like no other. So he'll probably give you something to research.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't called in a while, and I miss brother Wes, man. I wish he would call. He hasn't called in a while. Yeah. But, I mean, let me take a break. I'm going to take a break, Jay. When I come back from the break, we'll have more discussion on this and anything else we want to talk about. This is a brand new year, so they say. And, you know, what are the plans for this year? I hope they're going to be better than the plans for last year, you know. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue with this program. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. of the program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Acres of Diamonds on Mondays from 6 to 8. Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Cambon and her daughter Nataki Cambon. That is followed at 9 from 9 to 10 by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9 on Thursdays, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and my good sister, Bonisiwa Ayan. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, it's the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays.
And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And so, a brand new year, a new beginning, new possibilities with the same old, same old. Well, you know, the calendar, you know, has been messed with. So I just never conceived of a beginning of a year in, you know, and I know the focus is on the Northern Hemisphere. Most of the human beings on the planet, things are happening on the Northern Hemisphere. And I know the Southern Hemisphere now is experiencing their summer. It's just like last year when during the Australian Open, the tennis tournament, they had to, I think, cancel a day or two because it was so hot and they had some serious fires because it was so dry, you know. But to me, a beginning of a year should be when things begin to spring forth, which is March, you know. March in the spring, these, you know, that to me should be the beginning of the year. And it probably at one time was the beginning of the year, particularly for the Kemetic calendar, which is the oldest calendar in the world. You know, the Gregorian calendar, well, the Julian calendar was the one Julius Caesar messed up because he had to put a month in with 31 days for himself. And then when Octavian took over and changed his name to Augustus Caesar, he said, if dude got him a month with 31 days, July, I should have me a month with 31 days, August. Well, you got to take those days from somewhere to balance the calendar out. And, of course, they took them from February. And, of course, that's why the numbers of the month in Latin, Oc is 8, but it's the 10th month. November is 9th, but it's the 11th month. And, of course, December is Jesus 10. But it's the 12th month because of, once again, August and July and August. And so, you know, the calendar's off, so I can give less than a rat's ass about what they say anyway. But what's to me is most important, you know, is what happens and what happens with us. That's what's most important. And that this awakening that needs to happen within us needs to happen now. Now. So this new year, let it be a new you with a new mind, with an African mind, with a belief in us. Now, I know there's, you know, in this society, they perpetuate individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So the new you is about you. It's always about you. And you're exercising and your new plans, you know, going to the gym and eating right and dieting and relationships. In fact, I think they said yesterday was one of the biggest days for establishing new relationships in all of the sites, you know, dating sites were just overwhelmed, I guess. I don't know. I could care less. But as far as African people are concerned, whatever it is that we got to say, this is new, make it new. Make it new. Get our minds right. Make it new. Purge ourselves of the ignorance and distrust. Purge ourselves of all this foolishness. Infuse ourselves with love of knowledge. Infuse ourselves with love of self and each other and trust. Man, because it's going to get worse. They got Trump on recording talking to the Secretary of State here in Georgia, talking about he's looking for 11,000 votes or something. As is to say, you can do this. You know, you can change all of this. And he's saying, no, we can't change none of this because we've gone over this. We've counted these votes 3 different times. And every time it's proven to be more factual, more trusting than before. So no, we're not going to do none of that. They had him on the phone with the quick pro quo back in during the impeachment trials, and they had him. But of course, the Senate was not going to. And to me, all these senators who supports his ass should not, just like these two senators here, nobody should vote for their ass. They both supporting Trump. So nobody should vote for their ass. But of course they will. You know. And in fact, based upon the numbers, now, you know, they said that the Democrats are leading. They're leading. Both Democratic candidates are leading. That's what they say. And it's not a very big margin they're leading. But if you look at the votes that Kelly Loeffler got, and along with the votes that Doug Jones got, that idiot who was an ardent Trump supporter. In fact, Trump had asked that he would be the U.S. senator. But the job to replace a senator was the governors, and Kemp, and that asshole, he was the attorney general. He was the attorney general. Yo.
You know something, man? White people have to protect whiteness, because that's the only reason a white person should ever vote for either one of them Republicans. There's nothing that they have done that justifies them being senators in the United States. Nothing other than enrich themselves.
Right.
I mean, to be honest with you, what Loeffler did is basically criminal. And what the other guy done is basically criminal also.
Exactly.
But you know something? The Senate has rules set up for them to do what they've done. Now, think about this right quick. Mitch McConnell came into the Senate years ago, I heard, with the wealth of maybe $2 million, or it may have even been less than that. Do you know, in the years since he's been in the Senate to the day, he's worth $34 million? Now, let me ask you this. What type of sugar honey iced tea has that cracker done to make that type of money from being a senator based on the salary when he probably started that was maybe less than $100,000? That white boy ain't that effing smart, believe me.
No, he's a tool for the spread. Right,
he's crooked as they come.
Yeah.
And nobody never talks about that. See, this is the thing that I don't think people really realize is.
He was a tool for the special interest. He was a tool for the special interest. He was a tool for the National Rifle Association. He was a tool for the pharmaceutical companies. And those are the two biggest donors. And I'm quite sure there's a lot others for him to mass those kinds of millions. And coming from the poorest damn state.
From the poorest state in the country, basically.
And yet.
Now, the thing is this. A lot of people talk about, why is Donald Trump doing what he's doing? You know why he's doing really what he's doing? Because when it's all said and done, the man is facing jail time. If he doesn't go to jail, he's going to pay a hell of a lot of money.
That he don't have.
Taxes. And if they really want to be nasty, they'll take his Trump empire away from him.
Yeah, because he doesn't have it.
Egregious stuff that he's done that really is about to come into the light, because I really think he done pissed off enough people that now they want payback. Because think about this. Some of the people in the Lincoln Project that left the Republican Party to set up that Lincoln Project are Republicans that have tentacles in serious places within this country, and they're the party they perceive the Republican Party has been destroyed and overtaken by Trump. and they want payback. And I think they're in a position with him not being in the presidency to get that behind. And I think they're going after him. And I know basically Letitia James is gonna do her thing because she wanna at some point in time become the mayor of New York. And if she do him and lock his ass up, she basically can have that mayor ticket because of her profile that she would have. And then the DA Cyrus Vance won his ass too. So, you know, truth be told, the man is in a lot of trouble. And I'll say this, it wouldn't surprise me a week after he's out of office that his behind is indicted on something on a Friday. Believe me, they're going to get him. They're going to indict him for something. They're going to come after his kids. They're gonna do something to get him. And you know what's going to be the nail in his coffin? If he decides to pardon Julian Assange. Because you know the British government today said that they're not going to let Julian Assange come to the U.S. because they feel he'll commit suicide. So that's another cracker they trying to protect. And it's quite interesting that, like they said, the American government is going to appeal it. Now, this is something that may surprise you when I say it, but don't be shocked about it. Biden may kill him with a drone. I'm talking about Julian Assange.
Julian Assange. So he better not.
You know, once Biden get in office, drone strikes are going to start up again, like it's bonfire to the vanity.
Yeah, well, you know that they were prolific under Barack. They were prolific.
They had meetings on Tuesday talking about who they was going to start killing on Wednesday. Hey, listen, Black folks think that they're going to get something in return for this dirtbag Biden being in office. They ain't going to get nothing. We're in more trouble now, I believe, in all honesty, on the grand scheme of things, than we were with this fool Trump in office. Because remember, Trump ain't starting a war. Trump ain't really do nothing to build the empire, to grow the empire, and do the necessary thing for the empire to grow. And that's all based on starting wars and causing trouble. See, the analysis that nobody really used on Trump to prove that he was a jackass, a dumbass, and a fool was, the job of the United States is to grow the empire. Now, when he put the tariffs on China and messed up the whole soybean situation with the farmers, did he go and find any new territories to open up to the sale of soybeans to other nations? That should tell you everything. That should have been the biggest argument and the biggest pushback against that dirtbag that we ever saw. But that narrative has never been spoken about. Because you know why? The money that they supposedly got from China, where did it go? To the big corporation. Every day, farmers, the moms and pops, foreclosures, suicide, and all of that. Nobody talks about it.
It's happening.
You how wicked the media is.
Yeah, it's happening because, with this pandemic, people have lost jobs. People have lost businesses, people's health, their mental stability or instability. This is a mad time. This is a very serious time.
Hey, Oshie, I got two tenants now that I'm basically having to feed them and their kids, man. Now, I mean, that's how bad it is, man. I got other tenants, man, that are not even paying their bills. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a moratorium
on evictions.
When the moratorium is over, then you're gonna have problems. But it's like I said to them, you know, and they wonder why I never take nobody that's not Section 8. You know why? Because Section 8 take care of their business. Yeah. Now, the couple of apartments that we had that were in Section 8 because we didn't do the right thing, those the fools that got paying their rent. And the thing is, hey, I ain't even saying nothing to him. I ain't saying nothing to him. I got one partner that he's about to lose a couple of his houses because he didn't do what I told him to do. He went to that Airbnb, and Airbnb in New York is basically shot. You know what I'm going to do? Because he's a nasty, arrogant person, I'm going to snatch his houses from him. and I'm already told him, so I don't even care. I done told him, I'm taking it. As soon as it hit the market, as soon as there's any chance whatsoever that it's up to sale or anything, I'm just going to snatch it. I'm going to snatch it from you. And the sad thing is, I can't get rid of him. But I'm gonna put so much heat on him financially, I'll be able to buy him out for pennies on the dollar. That's because he's a selfish person. And, you know, that's why when you do business with people, you know, you come together in groups, but there's always one that shows themselves to be their selfish and greedy self. And you know what I found out? Those are the ones that always fall because they never listen. They never go along with the program.
Yeah,
they always gotta do their own thing. And oh, I'm gonna love doing them. That's my pride. That's my gift to myself for 2021 to snatch everything that comes available that he owns and throw it up in his face. You know what I mean? Because he's selfish. How you gonna tell somebody it's not my responsibility to help you feed yourself and your kid, and you gotta and you somebody that had a job, was going to school, you got a child that's a beautiful child, intelligent child, well mannered child, don't give you no sort of problem or nothing like that, and you gonna say something like that to a black woman and a black child, and you a damn Indian? I stay up at night figuring out ways to just be prepared to do it. To do them. That's how, you know, my other partners, we get on calls, man, and the first thing they say before the meeting starts, they say, will you contain yourself and don't say nothing to this man? Let this man say whatever he got to say. When he say something stupid, please ignore him. And all I do is just bite my tongue.
You said he's an Indian?
Yeah, he's an Indian.
He's an Indian.
And the funny thing is, he came into the group because one of my partners is friends with him. So, uh-huh. You know, it was at the time when you do certain deals, people got money, they come in with money. It's about business.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was like this. I didn't want to do it with him. But, you know, the deal was on the table. So mm-hmm. you had to pick and choose. And mm-hmm. I picked to get involved with a complete idiot, man. It is good that we're not able to meet up now because of this crisis, because he really showed his behind when the pandemic started and certain individuals couldn't, you know, fulfill their obligations mm-hmm. and things of that nature. Because I know if we were meeting in person, I'd have smacked him by now. I know I'd have smacked him. It's just my personality. Because he say things and he do things that's so selfish and anti-black. You know what I mean? That is, I can't take it. Knowing, you know, he is what he is, man. And you know what he look like? You know how dark he is, Oshi?
Mm-hmm.
He's the VJ Singh type.
Right, VJ Singh. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, VJ Singh darker than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Darker than me.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
And he got that much contempt, it seemed, over a dollar for black people, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, you know, man, whenever we got weekly meetings, I be having to to smoke some weed before I go on the
to mellow yourself out, huh?
Because I know this guy gonna take me over the edge for this business. No, seriously, man, I'm not a real weed smoker. You know, I got it's like medicine to me, man. I gotta take it as a common to mellow me out. So an hour before I gotta smoke, because by the time we get on the call, I'm mellow. My mind is a little at ease. Because, man, this guy, oh, he does something to me that very few have ever been there. Dude, and that's what's going to happen to Donald Trump. They're going to get him, man. And I'm telling you, if they win these two Senate seats, either way it go, it's going to be Biden showing himself to be who he really is and Mitch McConnell doing the number on him. Because, you know, I know people that got that $600 already. And, you know, the young lady that I help out, she got hers. And let me tell you how beautiful she is.
Well, how many kids she got?
She got two, so she got more than six.
Right, she got 1,800.
So she got her little check. Do you know she called me up and said, can I give you something?
Mm-hmm.
I said, nah, you can't give me nothing.
Yeah.
You can't give me nothing. I don't. That money ain't gonna do. That money.
Right.
I spend that type of money on just nonsense.
Yeah.
But I was saying to her, you know, just go and
utilize that money for your family.
You know, utilize it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll call you in a day or two and take you grocery shopping. Make sure you're all right. Just put it aside and do what you gotta do. Yeah. But you know, Oshie, how the hell is $600 gonna do?
No.
Do anything for anybody, man.
Oh, man, $600.
I'm asking my brother. He's telling me he's spending $750 for a family of, I think it's what, five? What is it? Five in groceries?
I can't. To me, this should be Mitch McConnell, whether he is the whether he maintains his position as a majority leader in the Senate. Or if he does not, this should be his last damn term. I know senators have 6-year terms, you know, which is unfortunate because that's a long ass time.
He deserves the South African burning necktie.
That's for damn
people
sure.
People like him in any other country would have gotten the South African burning necktie by now.
Yeah,
because
Mitch McConnell.
But you can't really blame him totally. You got to blame his constituency for being that racist, stupid.
Well, the Senate is a statewide race. And so the state of Kentucky deserves the blame for this. So when those in Kentucky who I know are poor and all they're going to get is $600, they ought to blame their U.S. senator, their senior U.S. senator, because that's the one who has caused the problems from day one is him. And yet you stupid son of a bitches keep voting his ass back in.
Yeah, for 20-some years. Yo, my man, $600 can't even get you a good TV.
Although,
$600 can't get you coffee.
Hey, listen.
$600 can barely get you four good tires.
Hey, listen.
I mean, come on, man. What the hell is $600 going to do? I mean, I remember going to the restaurant, taking me and the lady, and dropping $200-$300.
Jay, listen.
Champagne and all that nonsense.
I just seen a advertising piece for TVs, all under $600.
Yeah.
All 500 and something. They say, you got that money here. You got a little windfall of 600. Buy yourself a new flat screen TV. Buy the new latest ones with multiple pixels or whatever, you know. No, they're going to get that money.
If you think about it, Oshie, I mean, seriously, what can $600 do, man? I mean, if you got to get your car fixed the way things are today, you're spending $600. Just think about it. This is supposed to be income that's supposed to help you from when they sent the people the last check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you know, our priorities in this country are so twisted, and you know something? It's going back to where it was 4 years ago before the retards got in the office, if Mitch McConnell still has power and control of obstruction, obstruction. Ain't nothing gonna get done. And everybody talk and listen to this Biden is supposed to be somebody that could work with the Republican Party. I mean, man, you know, I'm sorry to say this, Oshi, but the more and more I think about it, man, if I could get out of here, I would get out of here, man. I just can't get out of here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I understand.
I mean, if I had one thing, I wish that there was a place in Africa that had the proper medical facilities so we could get the hell out of here and go there and just chill. You know what I mean? Because this here is becoming ridiculous, man. Well, I mean, I think I hate America more and more every day, man. No, seriously. And the reason why I do is because of the ignorance of the people and the naivety of black people thinking that this guy that's now in office is going to change our lives, and how we don't come together collectively to do the necessary things to move ourselves forward. And let me drop this on you right quick. I don't know if you heard this. Your boy No Neck Roly Poly Roland Martin is now going to have him a channel on Roku, Amazon Fire, and other platforms, trying to set up a so-called media network. And you know something? That Negro would never even have the decency nor the respect to have somebody having a program that will put forward the information that you do from an African perspective. And he got the nerve to say he effing black. I mean, I'll go even further. I love Gerald Horn. Probably the most prolific writer as far as black people go. But you know something, quiet as kept? I tell you, somebody who's more of a prolific writer than he is, and that's putting out like 4 or 5 books a year, that, you know, are all...
That's Baba Baruti. That's
no,
Baba Baruti.
No.
Man,
no,
if you go to Akabin House...
Listen, let me tell you the name. Baba Baruti has done that also. I'm talking about Kidi Awadu.
Oh, Kidi Awadu.
Yeah,
Kidi Awadu.
What he put out. Mm-hmm. He's doing 5 and 6 books a year, bro, and they're detailed research books, man. And you got to check out his book called Panic, man. Get a hold of that book and read that. It'll blow your mind.
Panic?
Panic.
Okay.
Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that book, and read that. It'll blow your mind. And I mean, you would never find him talking on a Roland Martin show. The only Negro that have any type of African consciousness that be on his show, and matter of fact, as quiet as kept, it's his highest rated show for the week, is brother Dr. Greg Carr.
Right. Right.
He's now, Kidi Awadu, I would say, is more advanced than Greg Carr. And Greg Carr is as advanced as they come as far as literary understanding, books read, book collection, knowledge and things of that nature. But I would honestly say, with the versatility and the total information that Brother Kidi has, there's very few out here that could compete with him. And I got issues with him. But when you're talking about health, when you're talking about the pandemic and what's going on, you need to try and get him on your show, bro.
Yeah, Kidi Awadu, sharp brother.
You need to try and get him on your show.
Yeah, very well.
Talk about it. Because, you know, the only people that are really out there talking about this pandemic on a real serious level, kind of reacting what these enemies are doing, I would say is Kidi and Brother Aleem, the brother that Elliot had on last night, and a couple others.
Yeah, how was that program last night? I couldn't. How was that program last night? I couldn't listen. How was it?
Oh man, it was a very good program, man. Mm-hmm. It was the type of program that, thank goodness, the guy is gonna going to be back on. He's going to be able to expound more. He's someone mm-hmm. that didn't work on the vaccination, but has been in the field and have been a part of other vaccination and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the protocols and things of that nature. But someone like a Brother Keeney, I mean, man, the type of information that he would be able to give the audience and people should listen to in regards to this vaccination would really put forward a serious debate
mm-hmm.
with these individuals who are pushing this vaccination. And I'll say this to you. He'll give Fauci and all of them a run for their money and make them really have to explain themselves, which if anybody that knows the truth behind mm-hmm. these situations, they can't really explain themselves. But they would. But a person like Roland would never give someone like Keedy an opportunity to give out information to our community. But the son of a bitch would say he about black media, black ownership, and all of that. But all he want to do is put you in the paradigm of being in whiteness, being a part of a system. This is madness.
Well, see, that's why. Jay, that's why I always push. You know, either we African or we're not. So if he's talking about being black, that's understandable because being black is all about, you know, maintaining status quo. Yeah. So, you know, so he want to be black. He didn't want to be African. I know
No, just say you're American. That's why I won't argue with you. When you say you're American, I'm not arguing with you. I'm an African. When mm-hmm. I define myself as an African. What is the most important thing as far as I'm concerned and understanding being an African is the most important thing. Once you understand this or you have a basic understanding of what culture is, you'll be all right. Most people don't know what culture is. Culture is essence everything.
Yeah.
Once you understand culture, then you straight. Most people don't know that. Parents don't teach their children about culture. Other ethnic groups teach their children about their culture. That's why they behave in the manner that they do. That's why Indians behave the way they do with other Indians. That's why Chinese behave. That's why whites behave. That's why Italian. Every other ethnic group, when you have a serious understanding of who and what you are ethnically, and culturally, that's because you understand culture. We the only Negroes in the world that don't understand what culture is, don't want to be no part of culture, don't want to represent culture, don't want to understand culture, don't want to study culture, and it's the essence of everything.
Well, because, hold on, Jay, because
everything is right.
Because we have been alienated from our culture.
Right.
And we have and we have embraced the dominant culture, European culture. And in that, we have become a subculture. Okay? We have become a subculture. And as a consequence, that subculture behaviors is so bad. And we're alienated from the dominant culture. You know, and we are trained not to embrace African culture. We don't want to be African. You know, everything that you've seen and heard about being African is being less than, is being primitive, is being ugly, is being dirty. It's being, you know, so I mean, I could go on. So really, it is about culture.
I had to explain to a family member briefly what culture is in the pecking order of understanding how to behave with family. And I said to him, it's your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, and your cousins. As long as you understand that pecking order and how you are supposed to act and respond towards your family members from that perspective of the pecking order, you should be all right. Mm-hmm. You should be all right. You never, never go against that. Go against the family. You never go against the family. You never let nobody separate you from the family. Once you understand that, then it's all gravy.
Well, see,
but people don't.
But see, the problem
don't teach their children that.
No, because the problem is once again, this is America. America does not promote family. Okay, America is not conducive to family life. That's why our family situation is such a disarray. Okay? America perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America promotes, and we have bought into that. You know,
and you say that all the time, Oshie.
Yeah.
Ever since I've known you,
right.
That is what you have said.
Right.
And you know that's the most truthful statement
yes.
that one could make
yes.
when you're talking about this peckerwood.
Yes.
Because that's what he is. He's a peckerwood, a cracker, a devil, a worthless human being that unfortunately has gotten to a point in a position of power that absolutely has destroyed the world. Destroyed
yeah.
the world, Oshie.
Yes.
Destroyed the world. It's
Look
not
at,
like the world is getting better, Oshie.
No.
The world is getting worse.
It's getting worse. Look at how messed up ecologically it is. I mean, it is in very bad shape. And I know I watch programs
Michigan.
All the time, you know, where they talk about, you know, how bad it is and is it still possible that we can reverse these things? Is climate change something that can be reversed and we need to do this, that, and the other? And look at the oceans, all the plastics and so forth. In fact, Jay, they did some studies in Antarctica and saw that there are some just small micro pieces of fiber and plastics in Antarctica. you feel that down in Antarctica at the bottom, you know, and whereas everything's so frozen, but yet the planet is warming. And as a consequence, the flow, you know, I know that from the Atlantic, the currents flow westerly. They flow from off the west coast of Africa through the Atlantic all the way to here. And that's why hurricanes happen. Hurricanes don't happen in Africa. Hurricanes happen when they begin to hit that warm water in the Caribbean, in the Atlantic, in the Caribbean, and meet up with that cold air. That's what builds hurricanes, you know, and that's what builds tornadoes.
Flint, Michigan tells it all. Flint, Michigan tells what America thinks.
Oh, man. Flint, Michigan is sad and pathetic.
It's been going on, I think, six years, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah,
5 or 6 years. And the problem hasn't been solved.
It should have happened.
That also says something about us. This says something about us. That we wasn't able to come together as a collective, as a people, and fix it while so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the reality is that the city of Flint, the state of Michigan, and United States collectively should have came together and fixed Flint's water problem. Barack Obama should have brought in. He should have chastised the governor for what he did was criminal. Then he said, "We're going to bring in the Army Corps of Engineers, bring in some private entities. We're going to lay new piping. We're going to do this, that, and the other, and give clean water to the brothers and sisters and to the citizens of Flint, Michigan." That's what they should have did. But no, he didn't do that shit. Instead, he had photo ops. He came in drinking some water, saying that this was the Flint water, so the water is now safe to drink. Damn Barack.
Damn Barack Obama. Man.
And then, of course, you know, wasn't going to do nothing. Trump wasn't going to do nothing. And so all that time, they still have bad water in Flint, Michigan. And they have bad water in other places. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because of the laterals there are bad and corroded and so forth. It's another place. I'm quite sure there's other places, particularly in the Midwest, because of how they're structured and of course, how the winters are so damn bad. So I'm saying that all of these things need to, you know, to change. Infrastructure is huge, just like in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is supposed to be a part of the United States, okay? And so they're saying, listen, in Puerto Rico, you're going to have, because of climate change, you're going to have more hurricanes. They're going to be equally as devastating. It's going to happen. So why don't we put all of the electrical underground? You know, let's, you know, get rid of brother just said that Flint has been going on since 2011. Ten damn years. And still, see, as I'm saying, you know, they don't give a damn. This society and this country don't give a damn, particularly about those who are poor. I bet you if that was a suburb in Michigan where Caucasians were adversely affected, majority, something would have been done. You know, something would have been done ASAP. But because it's poor people, it's just like in the South, you know. So I'm saying is that, you know, when you have and what you have done and yet you don't want to correct it. And yet people are making, and even in this pandemic, the people make the most money in the pandemic were the filthy rich. The billionaires.
That shows you a lot. That how it is in a pandemic, the rich can become richer and the poorer become poorer.
Yeah.
That, you know, that right there should tell you that you need to go after the rich. That you the know? Rich need, you know that old saying, the rich need to be eaten. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, the sad thing is that we as a people just don't have a clue on what we need to do for ourselves to be sustainable in this country, man. We get caught up in things that are not really, in all honesty, beneficial to us. You just mentioned Puerto Rico. And, you know, from watching the disaster of Puerto Rico, I came across one of my YouTube passions, Container Homes. Oh man, it's an obsession to look at the architecture of container homes. I really want to build one for myself. I'm just for myself, just to say that I have it. You know what I mean? But I don't know if you ever looked at the building.
No, I have. Those container homes,
Container homes.
Yeah.
But what they've done is now this company in Puerto Rico, this architect and some others have come together to repairing the homes that were damaged in Puerto Rico with now container homes because, to believe it or not, container homes are as sturdy as they come if they're put on the right level and they're built right. Because you got to remember something. Containers are built to go all over the world, brother, and face all sorts of weather. So if you notice, they go through everything. Because, you know, people ship. That's how trade is, shipped in containers. But what I'm saying is, those are the type of things that's going to move forward places like Puerto Rico if the corruption doesn't stop it. But the thing is, this is some of the things that we need collectively as black people in America. We need to find a place like maybe in Alabama or somewhere else where we would come together as a community and just build container homes.
Well, you know, the bottom line is infrastructure is vitally needed around the planet. You know, I, to me, the infrastructure of Africa needs to be dealt with. I could give less than a rat's ass about the U.S., honestly. I can give less than a rat's ass.
They're building them in Africa. You know, they're building them in Africa, too, and I'm loving them.
Well,
way they look.
No, I agree. But my point is infrastructure needs to be dealt with in Africa. In Africa, period. There are some countries, maybe like Rwanda, I love to see it, you know, where they have dealt seriously with the infrastructure. The streets are nice, they're well paved, they're clean. There are certain parts in Kenya, like Mombasa, I heard, where, you know, although there's a lot of Caucasians that live there, so I'm not too cool about that, you know. But what I'm saying is infrastructure needs to be dealt with on the continent. If you've been to Ghana, if you've been to Nigeria, then you know how important infrastructure needs to be developed. You know, water systems, energy systems, roads, highways, railroads, you name it. All of that. You know, wind and solar systems. All those things need to be dealt with, you know. And even though there are some areas that found oil, to hell with oil. Damn oil. Oil is the damn problem. We don't need no damn oil. We need energy systems that are clean for the future. We need roads, highways, railroads to move things. We need infrastructure. And a lot of money needs to be poured into infrastructure. When you go to Africa, if you went to Africa 20, 30 years ago, and you go today and the same shit is happening, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. And the leadership should be indicted. Yes, I know, but that's my point.
And that's sick.
That's my point. You know?
Well, the main focus. All I'm going to say is let's continue to fight. Let's continue what we're doing. Let's move forward in 2021 as an African people. Let's keep our nose to the grind and let's keep on watching these fools and counteracting what they're doing and putting out a message of African sovereignty, because if we could continue to do that, it'll click with one or two. It's not going to click with the masses, but yeah. with one or two, you can build an army and do what them brothers with the Ledge Group are doing, man. Yeah. I'm always impressed by Peter Brown.
Yeah.
I'm always impressed by that brother. When the brother writes things on Facebook, it's always insightful. Mm-hmm. It's intelligent. I mean, he's the type of brother you should have on every other month. Man.
Yeah, I agree. Peter Brown.
He needs to be in every other month.
And brother and Cozy.
Getting our mind right.
Yeah,
but Hotel, as always,
okay.
You're a beautiful brother, Oshi.
Thank you, brother.
I'm glad that you're back. And may this new year be a beautiful new year for you and your family, the best of health. And hopefully before you go, you'll do like Miles Davis said before he died. He said he wanted to do one thing, choke the shit out of a white man. He said it in his autobiography. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this right quick. Once I read it, because it was written in his autobiography by the great Quincy Troupe, I went out there and bought every damn Miles Davis album, CD that I could get. My collection of Miles Davis is at maybe 21 or 22 albums and CDs, and all because of that, him and Sonny Rollins, because of that great statement. The last thing he would want to do with his dying breath is choke the shit out of a white man. I love Miles ever since then. Okay, brother. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Jay. I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's that time as we end this program. And I want to thank Jay and all of those who listened today. This is, as they say, a new year. Hell. Seems like the same old, doesn't it? But we'll see. Once again, on Wednesday, we're going to talk about vaccine. And we'll see how that conversation goes. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like in all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MID and not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.